The rich man goes to college, got the poor man go to work.
Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Just because I'm homeless, it doesn't mean that I haven't got a heart and I'm not human still, you know what I mean? They needed the help. I'd like to think someone would come and help me if I needed the help. You know, it's just instinct, innit? You go and help if someone needs your help. And it was children, you know what I mean? And there was a lot of children with blood all over them and everything, so and crying and screaming. They were having to pull nails out of their arms and stuff and a couple out of this little girl's face. Yeah, some lady, she got cut from a side here. So my mate had rolled her legs up and then an ambulance guy came and firemen and they assisted after that. We just held her legs up because before she was just going to bleed right out, you know. If I didn't help, I wouldn't be able to live with myself for walking away and sitting and leaving kids like that.
All right, welcome to the White Out Roof Radio program. You know, that was a piece, man. That was a video I found on the internet. It's about the Manchester terror attack, and those were Manchester homeless men tell how they cradled dying women from pulled nails and dying women and pulled nails from children's faces after the recent Ariana Grande terror attack. And I did a post on my Without a Roof social media page that got several thousand views. But basically, I prefaced it as folks living on the streets are far more apt at doing the right thing than most people believe or are capable of themselves. And this is a powerful testimony to this, and this is the most powerful testimony I've possibly seen to reflect that. And that was an audio from a physical video. But welcome to the Without a Roof Radio program. I'm going to lead with what I'm calling the feature. They're almost equal in impact, but I have Bob Erlenbush, and he's going to be on talking about PBIDs, which is a property-based business improvement district. And we just had a PBID that was approved by Chico City Council. I believe it was the last time the council met. And I'm going to have some words around that when it's done. But after that, we did a neat thing. Valley View Apartments is the first supportive housing that's been built in Chico in many, many years. It had its grand opening today, 14 units, and there was a whole bunch of people. And I was out there doing my beat reporting for KZFR, and I got some wonderful interviews around that. So with no further ado, this is Bob Erlenbush here on People Power Radio. Guillermo Mash here from the May 24th KZFR Without a Roof radio program. And on the phone here for a pre-record, I have Bob Erlenbush, who is the executive director of the Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness. And we have Bob on the phone to give us some words and some wisdom from his experience around the Chico City Council voting in favor of creating a PBID for downtown Chico, California. And to prep Bob for this interview, I gave him a copy, electronic copy, of the CNR's coverage on this in this current edition. And welcome to KZFR, Bob Erlenbush.
Well, thank you for asking me.
And maybe your first take on this, Bob, before we delve into some questions.
Well, my first take is, I mean, the history of bids, business improvements generally, I was curious scanning the article for whether there was any mention of how the PBID would approach homeless issues, and it was silent on that. But I mean, my experience both around Skid Row, Los Angeles, and again here in Sacramento, is that the bids disproportionately spend, you know, the money that they raise through taxing the businesses, you know, usually in a 6 to 10 square block area, is pretty much what they said in the article, you know, addressing improving the appearance of businesses by having uniform awnings and signage and all that, but they spend almost an equal amount of money on security. Many bids, you know, hire foot patrols or bike patrols to sort of cruise the neighborhood, and at least in Sacramento, they try to provide direct services to homeless people, but that's more the exception than the rule. Usually it's to move people along. So it is, I guess, still outstanding how Chico's business improvement district is going to address that issue. But hopefully, hopefully they're not a quasi law enforcement agency, which many of the bid security ultimately become.
I had worked with Paul Bowden just recently, 3 or 4 months ago, Paul Bowden from Western Regional Advocacy Project. I'd worked with him and some student attorneys out of UC Berkeley, Bob, that were looking at updating the PBID report, and that has already been republished and available on their website. But he was quite taken back, and so wasn't the student working on it, that our bids are armed. Bob, we're not messing around here in rural Chico.
Oh, no.
They have guns, dude.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. They have guns, and
okay.
They look just like police.
I did not know that. Well, that's horrifying.
Isn't it horrifying? He thinks it might be the only city in the state. Have you heard of another city that the downtown security walks around with guns?
I'm almost speechless. No, I've never heard of that. I mean, usually, they have some sort of minimal training and, usually carry some sort of baton or mace or whatever. But, geez, full-on guns. What was the city council thinking? I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Thinking back to this two-year-old thing, but they go kind of pushing back on, hey, we don't control the business area. That's not something Chico City Council votes for. We decided to hire armed guards. But, yeah, they walk around. We have armed guards, Bob. I know in talking with some of the advocates and activists here, we will be doing some level of outreach. Possibly not me, but someone else in the community, to try to get some mental health services, wrapped around some of that $400,000. Like you had said, some of the in Sacramento, it's not common, but we have trying to them, help them provide services. We're hoping to have some triage money.
Well, that would be great to have some triage money. I mean, what homeless person or what person in general is going to open up about mental health issues or physical health issues or anything else standing over you or in front of you armed? Nobody.
Nobody.
I mean, yeah. That is not an invitation to provide any kind of direct service or help. That's an invitation to, it's a clear statement to move people along. And, I'm just curious. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just curious. PBIDs or business improvement in districts are actually sanctioned by the state. So it's under state legislation that allows business improvement districts to tax themselves to create these, create these entities. I'm just wondering if that violates any kind of state legislation to provide that the security force or guards, as you call them, are armed. That just makes no sense to me. I mean, it's been terrible. We had a shooting death of Joseph Mann, about a year or two ago, a homeless African-American, mental health issues, tried to be run down by the Sacramento police and then was shot like 18 times. The advocacy of the coalition, we were able to get the city council to put an extra $750,000 in training for all police, including in Sacramento Police Department, including the dispatchers, to receive 40, instead of 8 hours of training that is currently state mandated, they would receive 40 hours of training in crisis intervention techniques. And now you're going to put armed security guards with how much training, if any, dealing with people out on the streets, disproportionately many with mental health issues. And not just homeless people, but house people maybe with mental health issues as well. And you're going to give guns to these people?
So shifted. I think the 8 hours you were talking about is not too far off based on my recollection. It wasn't
eight
a
hours
lot.
Is nothing.
It wasn't a
eight
lot
hours,
of training. I wouldn't want to quote 8 hours, but it certainly was nothing that you would expect to have people walking around with guns.
No, the standard is the Memphis model, that was created in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the 80s when a tenant of a housing, young African-American man, youth, was shot and killed by the police there, and their community said, enough's enough. Our folks need a lot more training. So they actually have the Memphis University now that has worldwide recognition in training law enforcement in crisis intervention techniques. And so rather than the state mandated 8 hours, you know, many communities are moving to 40 hours worth of training. So I would really encourage, if city council is going to give their quote-unquote blessing to security guards in the downtown Chico area to carry weapons, that they have as much training as possible. Otherwise, the handwriting's on the wall that they're going to shoot and kill somebody.
Possibly now that it's quote-unquote a, you know, state-sanctioned PBID, that's my term, and maybe the rules have changed. I'm going to go back and look at that because, as you'd say...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'd be interested to see if somehow... because it is accurate to say that the state of California sanctions, I mean, you can't create a BID without the state going under state legislation. But then I don't know if there's any direction given the state whether security guards can be armed or not. I don't know, but I would like to know.
I'm going to look it up, but I think you're right on the money. I mean, what these PBIDs do and quote-unquote clean and safe, these are the two terms that usually go hand in hand. And Renette Filmer, the vice mayor, had kind of talked about, argued on behalf of business owners who are the ones dealing with this on a regular basis, people sleeping in doorways and defecating on sidewalks. So
the Downtown Partnership, just one of the many business improvement districts in the Sacramento downtown Midtown area, they spend $250,000 annually picking up trash and human waste. Rather than, you know, opening up a couple of restrooms for homeless people to be able to have a dignified way to, you know, do their bodily, you know, common functions that we share as human beings. So yeah, think of what $250,000 could do for, you know, for direct service or providing shelter or whatever. I mean, it's just incredible. And that's what's going to happen, I would bet, in your community as well. They're not going to provide the common sense services, including a place for showers, a place for, you know, to go to the bathroom, maybe a place to wash your clothes. It's just a slippery slope to continue to criminalize homeless people.
Yeah, it sure is, Bob. Closing comments on, you know, more harassment towards folks that need anything but?
Well, demilitarize the BIDs. That's my last 2 cents. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. I've never heard of security guards being armed. I just think it's a severe misstep by the city council to allow that.
Thank you so much, Barbara Ellenbush, for all that you do. And until the next time.
All right, back live in the studio, man. I had a nice, cool surprise, man, because I talked to Robert Chansey at the Andan open mic last Thursday. And Robert Chansey is a poet, man. Moved to Chico about 15 months ago, and he has got just the killer poem to follow what we just heard. Welcome to KZFR, Robert, and thanks for coming on and reading your poem, man.
Thank you. It's my honor. How gracious of you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Yeah, I mean, living in this town, especially because I live near downtown, you do encounter the homeless, and they're people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always wonder what I can do, because I don't make a lot of money. I'm not some wealthy donor or something, mm-hmm. so I'm just a small person. So anyway, I wrote this poem about 6 months ago in the middle of the – or 4 months ago in the middle of the winter when it was really freezing. So it's called Our Human Border. You were 3,000 miles away. Just beyond the reach of my anemic goodwill. I can feel empathy, compassion, the need for economic justice, but I am too weak to carry the sadness and ache of a drowning soul. I heard your plea from the bottom of your wild sea, and I pondered the strength of your undertow. You asked me to cross our human border, and I remained huddled in fear in my isolated terrain, that lone stretch of nowhere between charity and regret. I stay encamped here to maintain my visible poise, or what I call on my bleaker days, my loose grip on my domestic security and my hard-earned sanity. It is not just you I abandon. I offer small meals to the homeless when I carry food from restaurant to home, but I cannot transform broken lives on these chilly nights in this abysmal winter. Often, I will gaze upon a man in stinking rags with his rattling cadences and his eyes full of questions that I, with the limited heft of my wallet and the armor around my soul, am unable to answer. And I leave him on these numbing sidewalks. One more refugee I cannot house. One more trampled human I cannot rescue. One more forsaken son I view behind the agonizing comfort of my impenetrable wall.
Robert, that was beautiful. I couldn't have come up with a better way to put a bookend to what Bob Erlenbush had said, man.
I thank you very much.
You know, we'll get you back on. I'll get you over there, man. I love your poetry, man. And it fits, too, because actually you had talked about, you know, unable to house these folks and stuff. We're going to transition right now to, I got about 8 or 9 interviews with city council members and a bunch of city manager around a new supportive housing complex, Robert, that opened.
That's
I know that gives your heart some joy.
It gives my 14, heart a lot of
and
joy.
You'll hear, you know, I got limited airtime. No spoilers. Hang around. But it was a pretty joyous event, and I knew some of the folks that actually got housed. And you're listening to KCFR at 90.1 on People Power Radio.
This next speaker is Randall Stone, City Council member, local developer, as well as the chair of the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force.
The amount of collaboration that went in, and we keep talking about that, but this really is the shining example of how many different organizations it took to get this job done. Now, this started out as a Youth for Change program when the Redevelopment Agency was dissolved, and I wouldn't count the state as a partner necessarily in that context. They are, but when we roll back redevelopment agencies, that required other community organizations and city funding in order to make this all possible. And so North Valley Catholic Social Services stepped in, and Youth for Change graciously agreed to step aside, change the model for who was supported with these homes and the type of service delivery. And that collaboration, that retooling, and creating a different effort, as I'm seeing James Coles in the back, who started with all of this as a housing officer with the city of Chico, and absolutely. And now with North Valley Housing Trust and Reed Demers, our housing official with the city of Chico now. I mean, that type of retooling and re-effort is really what it takes in modern government times to find a new way to get the job done. I want to make sure that we recognize plenty of other folks. Torres Shelter, of course, being willing to endure all of this in their own backyard. Butte County Behavioral Health was, of course, instrumental, and they are one of the service delivery folks here, as well as vocational training that's on site as well. There are 14 one-bedroom permanent supportive housing units, one two-bedroom manager unit, a community room, laundry, and office facility, and a shop for vocational training. Of course, this targets people with serious mental illness, and Mental Health Services Act funds went into this who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. City of Chico's land lease, we provide a $1 a year lease. $266,000 in home funds, $44,800 in CDBG funds, Butte County Department of Behavioral Health and MHSA funding, Cal HFA, Rabo Bank with a construction loan, North Valley Housing Trust and Housing Authority of Butte County provided the construction and permanent loans. Boston Financial is our tax credit equity investor. So this involved a low-income housing tax credits, which we then syndicate, and the bank helps provide that that back-level funding. North Valley Community Social Services, Catholic Social Services, Community Social Services, and Sanseri Construction was the general contractor on this project. So you start thinking about what this community needs and how to get all of that done. These are the players that made that happen, and the community's support and the city of Chico's support is so instrumental in providing this much-needed housing for our community members that are suffering mental illness. So I thank you all for being here, and what a great day it is to be celebrating this opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, this next speaker at the presentation is Dorian Cottrell, MFT, and he's the director of Butte County Behavioral Health, the agency that provides support services for all the residents at Valley View Apartments.
So this is a long day coming. I've been the director for behavioral health now for 3 years, and when I came on 3 years ago, this project was underway, trying to get steam back after the recession that set us all back a bit. And I have to tell you, in the 3 years, the incredible partnerships between, in particular, the city of Chico and their donation of this land is incredible. The Housing Trust in VCSS, my department, and Palm Communities. I want to thank all of you for being willing to take our MHSA dollars from us and build such an incredible home for the clients that we serve. It means a lot in this day to think that 14 individuals who were once had no place to live now have a place to call home. Later today, as you go through the tour, you're going to see the impact that this will have on their lives. I also finally want to thank the Board of Supervisors of Butte County, represented here today by Supervisor Doug Teeter, for their support in moving forward with all the resolutions we needed to come up with our dollars to fund. They've been supportive about this throughout my tenure as the director, and we couldn't have done it without them. I also want to put a special thanks out to Debbie Villasenor, our housing consultant with Behavioral Health. Those of us in the circle of having to get all of this done know what a driving force Debbie has been for all of us, keeping us all straight, narrow, and she is going to be leading my department's new efforts to try to secure funding through the No Place Like Home bond efforts that have been put out through the state, and so you'll be hearing more about that.
I'm here with Marie Demers, the housing manager for Chico. Did I get that title correct, Marie?
You did, exactly. I'm really happy to be here. Valley View Grand Opening. This is an exciting day. It's been many, many years in the works. It's been an incredible collaboration between many community members, organizations, as well as Palm communities from outside the community to bring this thing together and provide for permanent supportive housing in Chico.
How many years? Just, I know our listeners are going to be curious how long it took to put a project like this together.
Well, this one's exceptional. 2011 it started, but that was because redevelopment agency went away, and so that fund, the original funding source, went away with that. And it took a little while to sort of come around and figure out some other funding sources, and then we did.
You know, it's warmed my heart. You know, privacy, I won't say who, but I saw someone, it's the best thing I've seen all year, Murray, someone I've known, and longest chronically homeless person I know in Chico is housed here at this complex.
That is excellent. That's exactly what we want to see.
All right, this next little clip is with Brad Montgomery, executive director of the Torrey Shelter, which is a direct neighbor of Valley View Apartments in South Chico.
Well, on the day the Valley View Apartments opened up, there were 14 units, and we had six of our folks move in. So we have success stories, people moving out into their own places pretty often, but to have a day where you're watching six people fill out their apartment paperwork all on the same day, that's a pretty cool day.
Cool day for me, because I've told a few people, the person I know that's known the longest homeless in Butte County, I saw that person here as a resident, so it's a real important thing. How short do you think we are on supportive housing, Brad Montgomery?
We need a massive amount more of permanent supported housing, of affordable housing, of bridge shelter options, of tent cities and tiny house villages. There's just very, very limited housing available in town, and very, very limited affordable housing in town. And if this helps put it in perspective, last night we served 142 people next door.
Yeah, and actually you're basically located down here in the commercial district of Chico. You know, we're next to a water tank, right next to Silver Dollar. So in a way, this is apartments in a place where we might not have put residential.
Well, honestly, that when they were looking for a location, this was going to be the safest and easiest location to choose.
So that's why they chose it?
That certainly had something to do with it. They knew that they could go through without an awful lot of NIMBY issues, and they knew they'd have our support, and they knew that this was going to be a place where people could move forward.
Hey, Bill. I'm here with the Executive Director of the Housing Authority of the County of Butte. Thanks for being on KZFR, Ed Mayer.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Nice to see you again. My pleasure. What's up?
Just want some words around this North Valley, you know, your involvement with it, and particularly this bridge loan. You know, I know that was a big thing that without it, you know, I guess without any little component, it didn't happen. But maybe enlighten our listeners about the bridge loan that the Housing Authority came forward to make this project happen.
Oh, my. Well, we had a lender in the community who provided some short-term money at the early stages of this development in order to get the ball rolling. That short-term lender couldn't hang out as long as they needed to hang out, so all of a sudden there was this need for gap money in order to make the project go. Housing Authority stepped in. The board considered it, made a $300,000 loan, one-year loan to the partnership here, and that was what carried the project forward far enough to where it could actually be completed. And here we stand today with a completed project. Fabulous. The Housing Authority, I will say, had a small role. The large roles here were really the developers' equity, the tax credit purchasers' equity, the work of the Behavioral Health Department, the work of North Valley Catholic Social Services, and, of course, the City of Chico. Great partnership. Fabulous. 14 units for homeless, disabled. And it's I can't think of a better thing to bring the community on a given day.
It's a great way to go into Memorial Day weekend, isn't it?
Happy day, and go Fernando Alonso.
So I'm here with Jenny Lowry at the Valley View opening, and she's with a local nonprofit called From the Ground Up, and we're out here at seven of her raised beds here at the apartment complex. Welcome to KZFR, Jenny Lowry.
Thank you very much.
What can you tell us about this project? And you got a big smile on your face. That says a lot, but that's for the TV crew. What's up?
You know, I love what I do. What can I say? Another one of our many, many gardens teaching at-risk populations how to eat healthy and improve their situation.
And it's blooming. I'm calling it blooming. Can tell I'm not a gardener. So what kind of stuff you got planted here?
We've got lettuce and peppers and
cucumbers
and chard and tomatoes and onions and squash
and a whole lot of love.
Lots and lots of love.
Okay. I'm here with James Coles, who is the director of North Valley Housing Truck, executive director. And I know you've worked a lot on this project. I just spoke with Marie. Why don't you give us some words around how happy you are and what it took to put this together, James Coles?
Well, this project is truly a collaboration, a lot of different parties, and it took some time to put together, but everything seemed to fall in place at the right time and with the right partners coming together. So that's what I'm just really excited to see, that there's more housing for people who are extremely low income, that has supportive services, that have the partnerships, you know, with Butte County Behavioral Health and various services here to just build community. And just excited to see what's possible, that what we've been able to do and what we can do again based on what was accomplished here.
Speaking of what we can do again, you guys got any projects in the pipeline? You know, what's the next project for NVHT? Where are you at?
Well, we are looking at potential projects, looking at various sites. So we are kind of in the evaluation and kind of a scoping process, and we are looking to do another project that serves people of extremely low income. We still have $200,000 of our state grant remaining that we're going to use for that purpose.
All right, it's a good time to say, James, I know you're going to be moving down to Sacramento, and I want to let all our listeners know is I don't know if I have any more respect for anyone that's worked in this space. I've worked a lot with James Coles. We put on the Poor People's Palooza together, but I just want to thank you for the rest of the community for all the work you've done.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed being part of this community, living here, working here, contributing and working with so many people that also contribute and care about improving the community. So it's been a wonderful experience. Thank you, Chico. I've really enjoyed it.
I think Tam Lee had the best compliment. She said you reminded her a lot of Lloyd Pendleton.
Oh, okay. Well, that is quite a compliment, because I really respect him and what he's been able to accomplish. So, yeah, it's been a truly blessing for me, and there's better things to come, and I know that NVHT will move forward, the community will move forward and do more of this.
I'm here with Carl Urey, city council member, and Carl works in the low-income space. So welcome to KZFR, Carl.
Thank you.
How happy you are to attend this event and see some housing here in Chico.
Oh, yeah, this is great. We ought to see a lot more of this.
Mm-hmm. What does your group have in the works? What group do you work for again, Carl?
I retired in February from a national group called Housing Assistance Council.
Uh-huh.
So I did training and technical assistance nationwide with rural groups, mm-hmm. like Weed and Arcata, Garberville, that kind of small groups.
If one word could describe how happy you are about this project going online and people housed, what would that be, Carl?
Yes, this is awesome. I'm here really to learn more, because I'm not really, I haven't heard all the specifics, how they put this together. It's not easy.
I'm here with Marie Demers again. What's up?
Well, here at Valley View again, and I just want to emphasize how important it is to have Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, and home funds in our community. The federal government right now, at least the Trump budget, is suggesting that we do away with both of those funding sources. We can't do these kind of projects that serve our local community members without those funds. So get out and
make your voice heard, because I know at the Police Advisory Board they were actually talking about how important that ACA funds, the Affordable Care Act, been, and their ability to provide mental health services. You know, mental health is connected here. I mean, all of this is tied together. I mean, it takes a village. What would you say to that?
Absolutely. It's health care, mental health, and housing. All of those social programs do have a benefit.
I'm here with Rick, who's really happy to be here, man. What do you got? How happy you are for this complex, man?
I'm stupendously happy that we could provide for people that are on the verge of homelessness or homelessness with a mental or physical impairment.
I'm feeling the same way, Rick, and it's really nice to see you. Thanks a lot for your words.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good work.